Now more of the Wild About Pets radio show on TalkZone.com. Once again, here's Susan Frank.
Hello, I'm talking to Pam Johnson-Bennett, cat behavior expert and author of her newly revised Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sour Puss. In a moment, we'll be talking about aggression from our cats and more litter box problems. But first of all, I have another question. This is one is coming from Larry from Medina, Illinois. Larry writes, I frequently find cats seem to gravitate to me, even though I am not generally a fan due to allergies. But cat owners have commented to me about unusual interest in coming to me. Are they more sensitive to certain chemical makeups than on other people, perhaps, Pam?
Oh, that's such a great question. Actually, cats very often will gravitate toward the people who are allergic or the people who don't like cats, and the reason is because they don't make any overtures toward the cat. If you think about company coming to your house, and if you have a cat who's a little reluctant about company, a little afraid, the cat lovers are the ones who are always reaching out right away and disregard the cat's body language that says, you know, okay, back off, let me just check you out a little bit, because these people are coming into the house with unfamiliar scents. So you're coming into the cat's territory. Some cats need a little warning time and want to check you out, whereas the person who's allergic or the person who doesn't like cats will sit on your couch and make no move toward the cat, mm-hmm. very often won't even make eye contact. Well, that lets the cat know that person can be trusted. That cat can now go up, do a scent investigation, probably even jump up in that person's lap, and that person won't make a move. So actually, what that person is doing is showing a lot of respect in the cat etiquette book, whereas the cat lovers are not giving the cat adequate time. So it's really a very common thing.
You know, and I see the reaction of the people. The cat lover feels insulted and kind of hurt when they kind of grab for the cat and the cat wants nothing to do with them. And then they say, oh, great, the person who hates them, you know, they are
exactly.
lavishing attention. But I think we're misinterpreting them.
Again, we're thinking like a human, whereas mm-hmm. if you think like a cat, imagine a cat is a scent creature, very territorial, and you're coming into the cat's territory and you have an unfamiliar scent. And if you have other pets and your cat, you know, picks up on that, that can be extra threatening. So if you come in, you don't do a direct stare, you sit down on the couch, you let the cat do a scent investigation, and even if it looks like the cat is asking to be petted because she's coming up and sniffing your pant legs or your shoes, don't reach down and pet her. Mm-hmm. Let her clearly give an indication that she's marked you as okay and it's perfectly okay to continue.
Well, with my cat, Willie, I told people, just sit still, let Willie court you.
Exactly, and that's perfect. And I wish more people would listen to the cat owner, because you know your cat.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say, please don't pet him on the head, or don't make eye contact, or let him come to you, we as cat owners, or as cat lovers, really have to pay attention to that, because if we don't, for the sake of our ego, that, you know, that all cats have to love me, no cat dislikes me, we set the training back. Every time we do something that ruins the trust building that's been going on, we set the training back.
Well, and so, of course, for people like Larry, maybe if they don't want the cat to come up them, well, you've just provided the perfect answer. All they've got to do is get very enthusiastic.
Start being friendly and the cat won't come to you anymore.
Start chasing after him with your hands outstretched.
Exactly.
Kitty, kitty, I love you, I love you. And then the cat will take right off. Thank you for your question very much, Larry. So let's talk about when cats really exhibit some aggressive behavior or sometimes act psycho. And you have a book called Psycho Kitty, Tips for Solving Your Cat's Crazy Behavior. Pam, what is maybe one of the stories that you can tell us that comes to mind about what you would describe as really rather kind of crazy or psycho behavior? And what did you do about it?
It's funny because there are no psycho kitties. I mean, it's, you know, it's just we truly misunderstand them, you know. But it's a case of very often, like with psycho kitty, cats just display totally unexplainable behavior, you know, extreme aggression or biting out of out of nowhere. And if you just put on your detective hat, you can figure out what's going on. Maybe it's that you came in with an unfamiliar scent, or, you know, you did do something, you know, the cat had an abscess and you were petting him on the back, something like that, and it hurt. So in Psycho Kitty, I set it up so that it sounds like the cat truly is nuts, you know, but it isn't. You know, for example, there's a story in there about a cat who was eliminating outside of the box and nobody knew it because the maid was cleaning it up, you know. But there was a perfectly good reason why the cat was doing it. So if you stop looking at your cat as a psycho cat, even though the book, you know, I tried to have fun with it, mm-hmm. if you stop looking at it that way and start looking at it as, okay, the cat's trying to solve a problem as best as he knows how, what is he trying to solve? What is he trying to communicate to me? And then all of a sudden, the pieces start to fall into place.
Mm-hmm. My cat, Willie, again, remember, he got the nickname Killer Cat. He was extremely friendly, as I mentioned, because he imprinted on me, was always around people. But one of the things that was so upsetting to me is outside, if I was in my little yard and Willie was outside, Willie would trot right up to anybody, but the minute they'd go to pet him, it's like he'd latch onto their arm and bite them, and it was bad. And I guess I couldn't understand it, but from reading your book and talking to you, Pam, I guess I'd have to say there's probably fear underlying, even though you couldn't see it. And I would have had to say, I would have had to tell people, never, ever touch this cat while he's outside, because somehow, even though he walks right up, he's very fearful.
Right, and the outdoors is an ever-changing environment. So when he's outdoors, he's not as relaxed as he would be indoors. He's on guard. This is a territory he can't control. You don't know when you're going up to him whether he just finished sniffing a bush where a male cat had sprayed. You know, a cat who maybe in the neighborhood was an opponent of his. So you have to really pay attention to your cat's behavior and watch the body language signals. You know, cats are creatures of habit. So, for example, I rehabbed two feral cats and they lived with me for 18 years. I knew what would trigger them. So I knew when it was okay to do certain things and I knew what circumstances would put them a little on guard. So we never had an incident. We never had a scratching or a biting or an aggressive incident because I knew to watch and pay attention to when they were comfortable and when they weren't. So we know our cats. We just have to really pay a little bit better attention. And aggression, there's a component of fear in all aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And a cat is really not a confrontational animal. That's why they do all the Halloween cat posturing and all the, you know, the pilo erection and everything to look like they're big and scary. It's because they're hoping they can scare their opponent off without having to actually get it down to fur flying and bloodletting. So when a cat has to be physically aggressive, it means he feels backed against the wall.
Okay, that's a great thing to consider. Let's go back to litter box problems for a second. Photo number 17, covered litter box. I've heard a lot of people say, oh, it's great because it contains the litter. I like them. The cats stop using them. Why might that be?
Okay, here's a think like a human versus think like a cat perfect opportunity. If you're thinking like a human, you think, okay, well, I want the cat to have privacy, so we'll give him a covered litter box because we want privacy in the bathroom. I want the litter contained, you know, I don't want to have to smell it. But that's thinking like a human. Well, from a cat's point of view, the cat doesn't need privacy. Cats will eliminate in your front garden, you know, with the traffic going by. Privacy is not an issue. Cleanliness is an issue, and that's one thing we do have in common with the cat. We want our bathroom to be clean. But when a cat is in the litter box, especially in a multi-cat environment, a covered litter box traps him in there, and he becomes a target for being ambushed.
Mm.
So I always tell clients to take the cover off the box so that the cat has more escape potential and he has more visual warning sign time to see if somebody's coming. If you're concerned about litter scatter, get a high-sided box, a plastic storage container, and get your little Dremel tool out and cut an entrance hole on one side so that will control the litter scatter, but the cat will still feel he has visual warning time. Also, with a covered box, they tend to not be as clean because out of sight, out of mind. If we don't see that little pile of poop in there, we're not going to scoop it out, whereas if you're seeing it when you walk by, you will scoop it. Also, the covered litter boxes limit the airflow, so it takes longer for the urine to evaporate. So it becomes kind of smelly for the cat whose nose is going to be about 2 inches away from the litter.
Mm-hmm.
And bigger cats, if you look at this picture, that's a pretty good-sized cat.
Yes.
All right, imagine having to cram yourself into, you know, we've all at some point been in porta-johns, you know, at festivals.
Yeah.
All right, they're not really comfortable.
Perfect example, and they stink.
Well, they stink, yes. So that's what you're asking the cat to use. You're asking him to cram himself in there. And when he was a four-pound young cat, maybe that covered box was an okay size. But, you know, as you know, Susan, there's an epidemic of obesity with pets.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of cats who are really too big for the litter box. So if you notice your cat is hanging his rear end out the back, or he's eliminating and then coming out and scratching around the floor, around the litter box, not going in there, it means those conditions are not very, very nice for him.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, of course, I want to refer everybody to the very detailed information, so much more about everything we're talking about in Pam's book, Think Like a Cat. But the thing that I really came away with when you're talking about litter box problems, Pam, is we may think the box is clean, but if you really think about how we ourselves as humans can be very particular about what our bathrooms look like and how clean they are, we must consider that perhaps we are not cleaning the litter box as often or in the way that the cat would want, and even the type of litter that we're using may not be the kind that the cat likes against its paw. And I think we discount those reasons as why the cat's not using the box, don't we?
We do. We do. We tend to just view it as a box of sand we're going to put in the corner and the cat will pee and poop in there. And we don't really give credit to the relationship the cat has with that litter box. And aside from being a place for elimination, peeing and pooping has components of marking and territorial issues in it. So there's that whole factor in there too. So if you have a multi-cat environment, let's say you have four cats and one litter box and they're all sharing it and they don't really like each other, well, they're having to constantly be confronted by this very strong scent of an opponent's urine.
I love what you said, be a detective, because everything we're saying, I think any of us can think a little bit deeper and, of course, go to your book, Think Like a Cat, and I think we can find some of these answers. My guest today has been Pam Johnson-Bennett, certified animal behavior consultant, the owner of Cat Behavior Associates, LLC, and author of the newly revised book, Think Like a Cat, How to Raise a Well-Adjusted Cat, Not a Sourpuss. You will find the links to the Cat Behavior Associates website. There's great information resources. Pam, you've got some fabulous videos on your website people can look at. And you'll also find how to order Pam's book, Think Like a Cat, and all the other ones on my TalkZone.com homepage and on today's Look While You Listen page on WildAboutPets.net. Pam, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. This is my favorite subject. Thank you so much for spending time about cats.
Oh, sure. And it definitely shows. As always, I love hearing your comments and questions. Write me on my Facebook page or at wildaboutpets.net. Thanks for listening.